fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win your league and have bragging rights on your friends.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Thursday show. Almost weekend time. Counting the days, or the day, I guess. Adam Azer and Jamie Eisenberg. No Dave, no Heath. How you feeling about that, Jam? Are you sick of me yet?
I would never be sick of you. You are my number one favorite coworker of all time.
No, that can't be true.
Why?
We have like yelled at each other before. We've had screaming matches. There's no
but
way.
You do that. Like, I feel like you're like a little brother.
Yeah, I agree. You are a little brother as well.
I'm older than you, so I can't be. And I'm taller than you.
Yeah, that's true. You're bigger in every way. So better hair as well. Welcome to Fantasy.
Much fatter than you.
No, everybody's a little fatter than me, but you're not fat. So, okay. Fantasy football today. We are talking a lot of wide receivers on today's show. And
whoa. Stop.
Okay.
We're changing the contest.
We're changing the contest?
We're changing the contest.
Okay.
I'll still read the outros.
Yeah, they're funny.
We'll still read them. But I'm not thrilled with this. And we got a better suggestion. I'm going to find out who it is before the end of the show who gave us the suggestion. But we got a better suggestion. And it applies since the deadline was before your wedding. Somebody said, what about Azer Toasts as the outros? And I thought, what about just Azer Toasts? Because I get to give a toast to your rehearsal dinner. And so I think we should allow all of our users who are trying to get into the podcast league come up with, and this just isn't like like somebody suggested Die Hard or whatever the line is. I don't want just like a hold up your cup type of toast and say that. I want a speech.
A speech.
I want our users to get, it could be a haiku. It could be a toast, like a legit toast where, you know, a speech type toast. Something that's saying something about you.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
I mean, about your nuptials, it could be about you as a podcast host. It could just be about good old, like a little bit like a roast.
Don't say that. Like, I was all about it until you said that. I mean, it'll naturally become a roast, but that's fine. Yeah. It'll be funny, and I will accept it. And since Jamie doesn't really get to give one, this will be a good solution. So
yes, yeah, so we get two of them.
Yeah. So a lot of wide receiver talk today, including
wait. So they got to send it in via email.
Yeah, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com.
Wrong.
Fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Thank you. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
So wait. Thank you for all the outros, but those aren't counting toward the podcast again.
People are not going to be happy about that. But
sorry.
To be honest with you, they weren't. They were a little disappointing. But
yes, that was part of it.
Now, we have two very different strategy suggestions at wide receiver from our listeners. One says, I want to take a wide receiver with each of my first three picks. The other says, I'm going zero wide receiver, or zero WR, I guess. Which would you be more likely to do?
Go heavy wide receiver or zero wide receiver?
Yeah.
Heavy wide receiver.
Okay.
Think about the volatility of running backs.
Yes. However, okay, you know what? Think about the volatility of running backs. And I agree, but I did a little bit of research here before the show started, and I went
to the
last 5 years. Mm-hmm. I did, yeah, I always do. The last five, and then I brag about it like I'm doing something that's not completely expected of me. All right, I looked at the last 5 years, and this is not a perfect exercise. I decided to look at the number 10 running back versus the number 20 running back, and the number 10 wide receiver versus the number 20 wide receiver each of the last 5 years. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you know it, 4 of the last 5 years, there was a bigger gap between 10 and 20 at running back than at wide receiver. And in some years, significant. Now, I did this very quickly right before the show started, so there's one thing I have to check, and that is whether or not players who have retired are still counting in the database. I'm not sure about that. And that might be screwing it up a little bit. But the fact remains, the only year in which there was a smaller gap between 10 and 20 at running back than wide receiver was 2015, which goes down in history as just that awful year for running backs.
Right.
Other than that, bigger difference between running backs, in some cases a lot bigger from 10 to 20. So I thought that was interesting. It doesn't change my answer, which would be the same as yours. I'd rather go wide receiver heavy than running back heavy. But I thought that was pretty cool, pretty weird.
Yeah, I also think that the influx of talent from this year's draft class is going to sprinkle itself all throughout not only the fantasy draft, but the fantasy season, where, you know, it's not just the four guys at the top, where I think you'll see Joe Williams have a few good moments. I think you'll see Marlon Mack potentially have some good moments, maybe Alvin Kamara, Wayne Gallman, those type of guys. You know, so there's there are players that have the chance to not just be potential starters when week one happens. I think, you know, you made the comment, or at least based off that one email where I did that draft, that you can come away with five rookie running backs to start your season, and by the end of the year, you'll be starting two of those guys.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think what you have to go back and really look at, and this needs a lot of investigating, it's kind of hard to find average draft position from years past, but is it easier to predict who the best wide receivers will be? I think we think the answer is yes compared to running backs.
Well, like Beckham, for example, has never finished one. And I think his best finished, you know, because he's missed some time throughout the course of the season. Like his weekly average, if you project that over 16 games, may have been the best as a rookie, or, you know, whatever season you choose. But like, he's finished, I think, fourth. He's finished third, even though he was drafted first or second.
But he's Julio a stud. I mean, like, if you looked at the top 10 running backs selected versus the top 10 wide receivers selected, would you expect to see more reliability and finish at wide receiver than running back? Less randomness?
Yeah, because there's less injuries involved with that position.
I would think so. I think that's the bigger argument here. But we'll talk about wide receivers a little bit later. Before we get into wide receivers, little tease of what's coming up. Jamie drafted a team last night. I think it's dreadful and would have been fine.
It was Tuesday night.
Oh, Tuesday night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Would have been fine had he just made one different selection, just one. But philosophically, he just totally botched it, and I can't wait to make fun of him for it. And right now, we're going to start with our email of the day at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Not fantasy baseball, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Graham. Graham says, "Dear Corey, Michael, John, and Curtis."
Corey, Michael, John, and Curtis. Those are rookie wide receivers.
Yes. That should have been so easy. I feel like there are tons of question marks with both Jay Ajayi and Jordan Howard, as well as massive hype trains, which is a funny image. Who do you feel more comfortable drafting and why? Jordan Howard or Jay Ajayi? I did a Twitter poll, Jamie, and I'm looking right now. I did it like 45 minutes ago. 618 votes. Not that popular. 50-50 split, Ajayi and Howard. Who are you taking?
I like Howard better for a couple of reasons. I think what we saw from him last year is probably a better idea of who he is comparatively to Ajayi, who had such highs and lows. And the lows weren't as low as people think, but the highs were so high. You know, he had those 300-200-yard games. He really only had, I think, five games with double digits in fantasy points.
Yeah.
Now, he missed the start of the season, didn't really get the job until about week four or five. Same thing with Howard because of the Jeremy Langford experiment, which failed. So they're kind of similar in that regard. But I just look at Howard's. I think if Ajayi, if you were to tell me right now, guarantee me right now, Ajayi is getting Mike Pouncey for 16 games, I'm taking Ajayi.
That's it. I mean, he played five games last year, Mike Pouncey, and three of those were the 200-yard rushing games.
Two of them.
But all three were great. Three great games for Ajayi.
Three, yes. The last one was the one at San Diego, and that was the one where he had like 17 for 79.
Very close. 19 for 79. That was the last game that Pouncey played.
That was the last game Pouncey played. Now, Pouncey only played three games, I believe, with the entire offensive line intact. Because Tunsil missed the start of it. Remember, he slipped in the shower. And then I believe Brandon Albert missed the game in there. So he only had three games with the entire offensive line, but those were two of the 200-yard games.
Yeah. So after Pouncey got hurt the last eight games of the season, Jay Ajayi averaged 4.1 yards per carry. He only scored two touchdowns, and he had only two games with more than eight fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. He was pretty reliable, about seven fantasy points in standard scoring leagues, which is really not so great, but it doesn't kill you. Now you go back and you look at Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard, by the way, finished ninth. Ajayi finished 11th. Howard averaged 5.2 yards per carry. He had seven 100-yard rushing games, despite only having 12 carries through the first 3 weeks of the season. So seven 100-yard rushing games in the last 13 games of the season. And, you know, both of them, neither of them was a huge factor in the passing game, but both of them, I think, showed the ability that they could be going forward. So you said you take Howard, right?
Yeah, it's been a storyline for both guys that they're both hoping to be more involved in the passing game. I think Howard said it himself, maybe as recently as yesterday. And Ajayi, offensive coordinator, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I believe offensive coordinator Clyde Christensen for the Dolphins said that Ajayi will be more involved.
He did.
As a pass catcher. But if you look at it, both guys have players on their team that could do that. The Bears added Benny Cunningham. They drafted Tariq Cohen. Those guys are probably going to be in a pass catching type of role. For the Dolphins, it makes sense to use Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams as pass catchers out of the backfield.
Okay, here's one other thing. Now, again, I did a little research before the show, Jamie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very impressive.
And did you watch Ghostbusters 2 last night, by the way?
I didn't. It was on?
That was what I tweeted you.
Yeah, it was on last night. Oh, God, I love that movie. So fun. Bobby Brown song. I looked at top 12 running backs in standard scoring leagues and how good of an offense they were on. And I didn't look at rushing offense. I didn't look at passing offense. I just looked at scoring offense. I think that's a little easier to predict. And Jordan Howard last year was the only top 12 running back in an offense that was worse than 17th in scoring. And most of the top eight running backs last year were all in top 14 scoring offenses. Seven of them were in top 10 scoring offenses, seven of the top eight. So that was last year. So Jordan Howard was a big outlier. And that, I guess, is my big argument against Jordan Howard is like, God, the Bears could be terrible. Touchdowns are so important for running backs. Is he going to be like Lamar Miller and just not score? Now, 2015, the really bad year for running backs, there was almost no correlation between good offense and good running back. Only two running backs that finished in the top 12 were on top 15 scoring offenses. However, I would almost guarantee that 2015 was the outlier. And I would guess, I'll go back and as we speak, look at 2014. I would guess there's a pretty strong correlation between finishing well as a running back and being on a good scoring offense. That would be the major strike against Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I think the one thing, though, with how the Bears are structured, and you can make an argument, will the passing game be better? Because Jay Cutler's erratic performances.
No.
Remember last year he was in and out of the lineup.
I don't know.
I'm not on that belief.
I'm not making that argument.
Huh?
I'm not making that argument.
But if it is better, you know, I mean, that'll certainly help things. And I think their defense continues to trend in the right direction. It's not going to be very much improved, but they continue to add pieces to it. And so they're going to be in a lot of close, low-scoring competitive games. That's just the way the Bears play.
Okay.
And that'll allow them to run the ball better.
If you think about it, like 2014, 2015, 2016, I think the Dolphins have had a top 10 running back all 3 years. Or I guess Ajayi was 11th last year. But it might come as a surprise, but Lamar Miller was like 8th in 2014.
Tells you how good Mike Pouncey is.
Yeah, it's a good point. And they've been committed to the run. Miller was like 6th in 2015, and Ajayi was 11th last year. All right, yeah, there is better, certainly better production from the scoring offense. Like 2014, you look at DeMarco Murray was on the 5th best scoring offense, Le'Veon Bell 7th, Marshawn Lynch 10th, Matt Forte 23rd, Eddie Lacy 1st, Jamal Charles 16th. I didn't get any farther than that. But
it's funny that Matt Forte is on the same offense
then
that Howard's on now. I think the one thing with just to circle back with Ajayi real quick, there are people that are going to tell you his numbers were pumped up by the 200-yard games. I think Heath is of that belief. And he's going to say, you know, like I think just looking at our rankings, Heath is a little bit low on Ajayi. I think he has him close to 12 in standard scoring.
Okay.
He just wasn't scoring touchdowns in those other games.
Yeah. Yeah, like 4.1 yards per carry is not great, but that's over the last 8 games of the season. But it's not terrible. I mean, you can survive on that if you score some touchdowns. He scored 2 in 8 games.
I misspoke. I thought Heath had him lower. Maybe I was looking at early rankings. He has him 9th. Mm-hmm. So I have him 8th. Dave has him 10th. Heath has him 9th. The one thing I think, like with Dave's ranking, Dave has Fournette ahead of Ajayi. That's not one I'm willing to go that route yet.
Interesting. All right, next segment.
But I'm the only one with Ajayi ahead of DeMarco Murray.
Okay. And you and Dave have Howard ahead of Ajayi. Mm-hmm. Heath has Ajayi 9th and Howard 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Adam hates Jamie's team.
Mm-hmm.
what was the alternate title you suggested?
Adam is an idiot.
Adam is an idiot. Yes. So, all right. What was it? 12-team PPR.
12-team PPR. 4 points for passing touchdowns.
All right. So Jamie,
start three receivers and a flex.
Oh, you start three receivers?
Yes.
This is even worse.
Why? My receiving core is great.
No, your receiving core is not great.
Well,
okay.
I mean,
anyway,
okay.
Anyway, what pick did you have? Five.
Six.
Six. 12-team PPR, start three receivers and a flex, so you're probably going to start four receivers. And he had the sixth pick. Because you want your flex to be a wide receiver in PPR, don't you?
But I like my three running backs.
Well, they're adorable, but it's a bad strategy. Julio Jones in the sixth overall pick. Well done. I approve.
Thank you.
Jordan Howard in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
29 catches last year. Todd Gurley in the...
He just said he wants to be better as a receiver.
Yeah,
so.
I hope so. But I heard one analyst say that they have other guys on the team that can catch passes.
Yeah, so. Benny Cunningham and Tariq Cohen. Studs.
Todd Gurley, third round, 43 catches, 15th amongst running backs last year. Isaiah Crowell in the fourth round, 40 catches. Dante Moncrief, 30 catches in 9 games. He's your number 2 wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Davis is your number 3 wide receiver. So let's just look.
Zero catches in the NFL last year. Zero.
Let's just look at your first six picks. Julio Jones, Jordan Howard, Todd Gurley, Isaiah Crowell, Dante Moncrief, and Corey Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have enough catches, and I just three running backs with your first four picks in a three receiver PPR league. Fail.
Maybe, but I think when you look at the whole, my six receivers are pretty good.
Okay, you also have John Brown,
mm-hmm.
Jeremy Maclin,
mm-hmm.
and great pick, Quincy the Maclin pick, and Quincy Enunwa.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine being in... Oh, crap, I got to find the link to the draft. If you have it, that would be wonderful.
Sure.
I can't imagine being in a... I got it. Three receiver PPR league and not having two top. Where's Moncrief for you?
Where is he?
Yeah, where's in your rankings? PPR.
Oh, he's 29th in my PPR ranking.
Yeah, I can't imagine not having at worst two top 20 PPR wide receivers.
Okay, so I'll tell you my first dilemma, and it was in round two, mm-hmm. where I took Jordan Howard, which was at 19th overall. It was between Howard, Gronk, and Amari Cooper.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, let me get guy that I have ranked. I think I have him ranked 16th overall in PPR. I think he'll be just as good, like I said. You said he had, what, 29 catches?
Yes.
I'm figuring 35. Remember, he didn't really play a big role in the beginning part of the season. 35. You said Gurley was the 15th best running back in catches?
In catches. He had 43, yeah.
Right. So if you tell me that I'm getting a top 20 PPR top 20 running back in receptions, which is where I think he'll be, plus what he'll give me as a running back, I don't think the catches matter as much. Like, I'm not taking Danny Woodhead there because he's catching the ball a lot.
Yeah, okay.
It's too early for Christian McCaffrey.
I'll just say I wouldn't have taken a running back in round three. Like, Julio Jones, Jordan Howard, fine. I think I would have just
taken round three.
I would have taken Allen Robinson instead of Todd Gurley.
Yeah, but again, I think Gurley's going to bounce back.
But they're the same thing. I mean, like, they both could bounce back, and they both could bounce back to greatness.
They could, but you know, when you hear Jaguars saying they're going to run the ball more and not throw as much, that doesn't lead you to be overly excited about Allen Robinson. But okay, that's fine. Could have said Allen Robinson. Could have said Alshon Jeffrey. Jarvis Landry was somebody I considered. That spot too. You know, with his 90-plus catches, I mean, he's certainly going to be in the mix.
You can go Amari Cooper in round two, skip over Jordan Howard, and take Todd Gurley as your number one.
Right, but
running
I didn't
back.
Expect Todd Gurley to be sitting there in round three.
Okay.
That was part of the problem. So 30th overall, I think that's good value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we go to round four.
Okay.
I think Isaiah Crowell's a round three-ish, round four-ish type of guy. I don't love Julian Edelman, but I can understand taking him there.
I don't love any of the wide receivers there, Jamie. Like Edelman, Fitzgerald, the wide receivers are not good here in round four, which is all the more reason to take a wide receiver earlier.
Sure. But then it's okay. This is kind of, I guess we'll lead into where we go next. I like the group of number three wide receivers. And so I end up taking what essentially ends up being now four of them with my next however many picks.
And that was John Brown, Macklin.
That was Moncrief, Brown, Macklin, Corey Davis.
Moncrief, Corey Davis, Brown, and Macklin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like I liked him too, but I'm just surprised in a PPR league that starts three wide receivers that you have that you went with a wide receiver and followed it with three running backs.
It wasn't my plan, but I like the value for those three guys. Okay. Now, the frustrating thing is then when you get to, I don't know where it start where they fell, but I can tell you. So Mark Ingram sitting there in round six.
Exactly.
You see that?
Exactly.
That, but I didn't expect that to happen.
But you should. But I think not. You know, you should have done this. I think if anybody's doing a three receiver PPR league, which is a fairly popular league, you should expect some crazy running back value. Stephon Diggs was the 48th overall pick in this league. So,
yep. Then round seven, there's C.J. Anderson, Paul Perkins.
Yeah. That's just.
But again, I just in the spots where I took those guys, the one that I may end up regretting. Is Howard over Cooper?
Yeah, maybe. All right, so who are you going to start at flex then? Because it's two running backs, three receivers, and a flex. Are you going to start Isaiah Crowell or John Brown or Macklin?
I'm going to probably open the season with the three running backs.
Interesting.
And see how it goes.
Okay. All right, well, I thought, look, I don't hate your team because you did a nice job with mid to late round wide receiver value. I couldn't, and I know you didn't see yourself doing it either. I just didn't like the strategy of taking three running backs with your first four picks in a three receiver PPR league.
Sure. But, it ended up working out in the way that I view it in my benefit because while, some people were getting CJ Anderson or Mark Ingram or Paul Perkins after round six, I think getting John Brown and Jeremy Macklin and Quincy Enunwa would not be a surprise at all, as we've talked about with their situation, specifically those three guys, that it could be Julio Jones and two of them, or maybe all three of them. And I'm benching Moncrief if he's hurt, and I'm benching Corey Davis if he's a bust, especially if they end up signing Eric Decker.
Do you see more catch potential for Moncrief? He had 30 catches in 9 games. He had 64 catches in 16 games in 2015. Or do you think he's just low catches, high touchdowns?
I think he's a 75 catch guy this year. I don't think he's going to go out there and have an 80 to 90 catch season. That's just not his usage.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much he played through the shoulder injury, because he missed a game at the end of the season too. So how much did he come back and he was not right? And while they did add Kamar Aiken, they're down Dwayne Allen. So, you're still moving things around in terms of how they perform. Obviously, Andrew Luck's got to be healthy, but he's in a contract year too. And I think he's one of those guys that goes out and has 75, 800 to 900 yards. He's not going to be a high yardage guy. But if he's 7 touchdowns again with 75 catches, the yards will be there enough to make him certainly a viable, if not great, fantasy option.
Let's go go look at some news and notes here, Jamie, and then we'll talk about more wide receiver strategy. Travis Kelce could be limited to start training camp due to a shoulder injury. You care?
Not yet.
Okay. Latavius Murray should be ready around the start of training camp as he recovers from the ankle injury. Detroit acquired, they got two offensive linemen in the fold now. As Taylor Decker, their starting left tackle, is going to be out 4 to 6 months with a shoulder injury. So they acquired huge draft bust Greg Robinson, the number two pick in the 2014 draft. They got him for a 6th round pick from the Rams. They also signed Cyrus Kwanjo. It's not even certain, that either of these guys will be starting. It's just depth right now as they try to weather the storm. Where do you think Eric Decker could end up?
Well, Tennessee makes a lot of sense for him. And, this is a team trying to acquire a lot of talent. So it's not a bad fit. And the reason I say it makes sense for him, because his wife, I believe, is trying to become a country music star. And they have a home in Nashville. Nashville's big on music, as I know you're aware.
Oh,
big country music fan that you are.
And
the Browns. I said this to you the other day, I believe. I know I had a conversation with Dave that I think Kansas City makes a lot of sense, just because of the need that they have with Jeremy Macklin gone. But look, Tennessee could sign him, and then they have one of the better wide receiver corps maybe in the NFL if Corey Davis hits and Rishard Matthews is still relevant.
I feel like Eric Decker's wife is already a country star, Jesse James. But I'm not sure.
Okay, so then she's putting herself in the right place to be.
Oh yeah, people love Nashville.
Yep, but Cleveland is a rumor. I believe Sports Illustrated reported that he visited Tennessee. So that's two places right now that are going to be in the mix. And you would think Buffalo, but I don't know if he wants to be in Buffalo just after they you know kicked the tires on Jeremy Maclin.
Okay, more news and notes. Myles Garrett hurt his foot in practice on Wednesday, Cleveland. Tom Savage, that's all you have to say. Tom Savage is the leader in the Houston quarterback race, and DeAndre Hopkins endorsed Tom Savage.
I think he endorsed both guys. He said that Deshaun Watson has it mentally already.
Okay, well, that's good. If you're looking for a, if you're looking for an encouraging, DeAndre Hopkins was actually pretty good with Tom Savage stat. Well, I got to tell you, I did a little research before the show, and it's just not true. There was no difference. By the way, look at this early season schedule for DeAndre Hopkins. Jacksonville, week one, Jalen Ramsey. At Cincinnati.
And AJ Bouye.
Bouye. And at Cincinnati, they were pretty good against receivers last year, weren't they? Like, really good? I think.
I think that's everybody ran on them.
I think they were really good against number ones. I don't remember off the top of my head. At New England, that's going to be tough for him. Tennessee could be good. Kansas City could be rough. Then Cleveland, then a bye. So you look at the first 6 weeks, Jacksonville, at Cincinnati, at New England, Tennessee, Kansas City, Cleveland, and a bye, and then at Seattle?
It's a, so tough, he's a bust?
Tough start. I'm saying it's a tough start for him. I don't know, man. Like, I try not to make too much of the schedules, but I've been seeing some really interesting things. Like, the Lions losing their left tackle and having such a brutal start to the schedule, it does scare me. And Leonard Fournette's first six games, they're a little scary to me. And these first 6-7 weeks for DeAndre Hopkins, a little scary for me.
The Bengals against number one guys last year, they got better as the season went on. But they gave up 12 touchdowns to wide receivers in general.
That's not a lot.
No, but like week one, Decker scored against them. They did well against Marshall.
Right.
They did good against Antonio Brown for two games.
I mean, they got good cornerbacks, so it makes sense.
Right, but Sanders and Thomas beat them up for three touchdowns combined.
Oh, that was like the weird game that somehow the number one wide receiver. Right, I remember that. Beckham had a decent game. He had scored a touchdown.
Beckham had a big game, yep. They shut down Terrell Pryor. They talked a lot of trash to him.
That's right, that's right.
Shut down Percy Harvin.
That's not necessarily something that carries over, but I think it makes sense that Cincinnati could be good against number ones. Brock Osweiler said his fundamentals were not right last year, so hopefully improvement this year. Christian McCaffrey finally reporting.
When you say
Carolina,
fundamentals, do you mean entire football game?
Yeah, I don't know. Football is fundamental, they say. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. His mechanics were off, so yes. Also, the mentals part of fundamentals. Jacksonville GM Dave Caldwell did say that Blake Bortles is going to throw less this season. Now, that said, he had the third most pass attempts in the NFL, so yeah, he's definitely going to throw less. Buffalo expects left tackle Cordy Glenn to be ready for training camp. He's recovering from an ankle injury. Sammy Watkins is getting most of the first team reps. That's good to see.
Here we go.
Rams head coach Sean McVay expects Tavon Austin to be a big part of the offense. What do you think the chance is that Tavon Austin has been a great player all along who was just underutilized, and Sean McVay is going to make us see, oh, this is why he was a top 10 pick?
Could be. Very well could be, but they spent two draft picks, and one of their big free agent signs, which they really overpaid for, was at wide receiver with Robert Woods. So Woods, Josh Reynolds, Cooper Kupp. I think you'll see a lot more of those guys than Tavon Austin.
All
plus
right.
A tight end and Gerald Everett.
Dallas running back coach Gary Brown said Ezekiel Elliott will see more targets in the passing game this year.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Sammy Watkins plays 16 games. Zay Jones is good. Where's Tyrod Taylor finish?
Definitely top 12.
Definitely.
Under that? Well, he plays 16 games too?
Yeah, sure.
Like, Tyrod Taylor...
He's been good.
...has been a victim of offensive philosophy. They are just a heavy, heavy run team. Yeah, I think if he has
Which could have helped him too, because he did lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year, was very good as a running quarterback the year before.
Definitely top 15. I wouldn't be surprised top 12.
I think I'm with you.
Yeah, there's just so many guys that you asked me that question. and I'd give the same answer, and there'd be, like you say, Andy Dalton plays 16 games, AJ Green plays 16 games, where's he going to fit, and John Ross is good. He's definitely top 15.
All right, so take the Zay Jones equation, part of the equation out of it. Sammy Watkins, 16 games, how good does that make Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, he'll probably be top 15, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think they'll throw more. I mean, they couldn't throw any less. They've been bottom two in pass attempts each of the last two seasons.
Sure.
So, all right. Yeah, we'll see. This was interesting. The odds of winning the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year award are out per Bovada. We have it on our website on CBSSports.com.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Fournette is 7-2 favorite. Stop me when you hear the amazing value. I think we're going to agree. Leonard Fournette, 7-2 favorite to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Christian McCaffrey is 5-1. Deshaun Watson, 6-1. Dalvin Cook, 8-1. Corey Davis, 8-1. Deshaun Kizer, 12-1. Joe Mixon, 12-1.
There we go.
That's it. Ding, ding, ding.
I was just waiting for the name. Yep. I knew that's right. Once you got past Dalvin Cook, I was like, okay, he's not going Dalvin Cook, so it's got
to
be Mixon.
Yeah, it has to be. I thought that was pretty neato. Place your bets. Joe Mixon 12-1. Zay Jones 25-1. Along with Evan Engram. They're the lowest tier. And okay. Wide receiver stuff. Wide receiver emails.
I'll ask while we're on the over unders or odds. So our colleague at Sportsline, Larry Hartstein, he just sent me the link. Tom Brady prop bet. 33.5 touchdowns. Taking the over under on that.
How can you go under? How on earth could you go under that? That seems like an easy over.
So here Larry lists the touchdowns for Brady's last 10 years. 2007, 50. 2008 didn't play. 2009, 28, 36, 39, 34, 25, 33, 36. And last year, 28 with the four missed games. So here was my quote, my glowing quote in the story. I said, knowing the Patriots, they'll probably aim to get him 40 touchdowns, one for each year of his age. There are too many weapons for Brady this year that he should easily get to 35 touchdowns, 15 to his receivers, 15 to his tight ends, and 5 to his running backs.
15 to his tight ends, yeah. That's an interesting way to put it. 15 to his receivers, yeah.
10 to Gronk, 5 to Dwayne Allen. Yeah. That's realistic.
Absolutely.
And then you figure, I'll say 6 each to Cooks and Edelman.
I don't like that. I mean, it's a good prediction. I don't like it for their values.
Well, Edelman had 3 last year.
Yeah, I mean, he had 3 all season, huh?
I think so.
My goodness.
3 or 4.
Yeah, eight. I think when you get under 8 that and you want a guy to be a stud, like Brandon Cooks more so than Edelman, you're going to struggle to be a stud under 8. But then again,
just to give you an idea, Edelman was 3 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Cooks in New Orleans was 8. So there's 11.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a good projection. Yeah.
And then you got 5. Look, he's probably going to get closer to 40 than 35. If he's getting 15 from his tight ends, it's probably closer to 40.
2 wide receivers were studs with less than 8 touchdowns last year, and they were Julio Jones and T.Y. Hilton. And I think they led the NFL in yards. They did. In receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking
AJ Green would have been there too.
More wide receiver strategies. The first email comes from Andrew in Northern Jersey. In PPR, there seems to be a pretty big drop off on receivers after around wide receiver 20 or so, and there are a lot of high potential running backs past RB15. Because of this, what do you guys think about the strategy of drafting 3 stud wide receivers in the first 3 rounds and stockpiling high potential running backs?
But again, what's the first 3 stud receivers? Because once we get past, like, you're picking where? What do you say?
He didn't say.
Okay, so let's say you're picking PPR at the back
league
of the
round. PPR league, he wants to take his first 3 picks as wide receivers. I have an example of this, by the way, from one of our drafts. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think the thing would be is you're going at the end of the first round, and you're picking. Let's just say it's Jordy and Hilton. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are your first 2 picks. Then in round 3, you're looking at, I don't know, Landry maybe? Crabtree?
Could do worse than Landry. It's sort of a lock top 17 PPR receiver.
Jeffrey? Keenan Allen?
Yeah, no, Jeffrey got a ton of upside. I like the theory, you also have to, you take a running back there too, right? I like the theory behind this email, and I'll give you two teams that took three wide receivers with their first three picks. First of all, I'm assuming this is two receivers and a flex. If it's three receivers and a flex, I think you're going to get a lot of teams, maybe like three, that go three receivers with their first three picks. It's, you know, I think it's going to be popular. But in a two receiver league, I'll read the PPR team. Matthew Coca in a 12-team PPR league. Some of the draft values are a little off, as we did this draft a while ago. He had the third overall pick. He took Beckham, took Allen Robinson in round two, and Sammy Watkins in round three. He took Tevin Coleman in round four. He could have taken Joe Mixon, which would have, I think, been a better pick, but probably not anymore. Well, maybe in a PPR league, Mixon falls. He took Jimmy Graham in round five. So he goes Beckham, Robinson, Watkins, Tevin Coleman, Jimmy Graham, then Mike Williams, and then C.J. Anderson. What is this, round eight? Five? Seven. C.J. Anderson, round seven. Then he took Jamal Charles, round eight. Probably not a good pick. I don't remember where Charles was at that point in time. Eric Decker, Marvin Jones, Ryan Matthews, Cole Beasley. He could have drafted better running backs knowing what we know now, but again, this was a while ago.
Well, I was just looking at the draft I did the other night, which is a three-receiver league with a flex.
PPR.
And I found one team that did it. This is a three-receiver. I won't say it because this is for another magazine, so I don't want to ruin who it is and what the magazine is. But so it was A.J. Green at seven, Doug Baldwin round two at 18, mm-hmm. Allen Robinson, the one you questioned me on, right after I took Todd Gurley. That was at pick 31. Marshawn Lynch, his first running back in round four. Could be good, could be bad. Then stayed with the receiver, Emmanuel Sanders in round five. So there's his three receivers and his flex.
That's a bad pick.
Then in round six, Spencer Ware. Who knows how that will work out. Matt Forte in round seven. Hate that pick.
Yeah.
Eric Decker, who knows where he'll be. That's round eight. So
do me a favor. Hold on. Do me a favor. He takes Emmanuel Sanders in round five as his fourth wide receiver. Give me a running back he could have taken there.
Well, I'm looking at his team right now, so I have to go back to the rounds. So
come on, Jamie.
It's easy. Round five, he took Decker over.
Oh, he took Decker? I thought he took Sanders.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Sanders over. Could have had Amir Abdullah there.
Bingo. That's how it's
could have
done.
Could have had C.J. Anderson. We know he went round seven. Could have had Tevin Coleman, who went round six. Could have had Mark Ingram, who went round six.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, look, Sanders, I say it every show, I think. I'm not a big Sanders guy. But if you take three wide receivers, even if you're going to start a wide receiver at flex, I'm probably going running back with, like, my next two picks, something like that. But I think you can do it, Jamie. And then I have a standard scoring league that went three receivers. It was Will Brinson. He had the 12th pick. He went A.J. Green, Dez, and Demaryius. Mm-hmm. And then he took Joe Mixon with the first pick of round four. Spencer Ware, Tevin Coleman, Jameis Winston, Kyle Rudolph, O.J. Howard. Yeah, okay, look, I don't think there's
enough. Wow, I found another one that went four in a row.
Okay, hold on one sec. I don't think there's enough investment here in running back. And I think if you're going to go with wide receivers with your first three picks, like Joe Mixon, Spencer Ware, Tevin Coleman, I think you need more than that. I think you need maybe your next four or five, especially in a standard scoring league, to be running backs. In a PPR league, maybe it's a little different. All right, who went four?
This is the 12th pick, so last pick of round one.
Okay.
T.Y. Hilton, round one. Dez Bryant, round two. Sammy Watkins, round three. Devontae Adams, round four. Drew Brees, round five.
Wow.
So first five picks, no running backs. Perfect zero RB strategy. Here are his backs. PPR league. Adrian Peterson, round six. Duke Johnson, round seven.
Ugh.
Jamal Williams, round eight. Chris Thompson, round 9. Jalen Richard, round 10. Jonathan Williams, round 11. Then back to wide receiver with Josh Doctson and Kevin White.
Mm-mm. Nope. No.
But again, those first four wide receivers are studs.
Wait, he has four wide receivers. Okay, yeah. I think what I would have done there, tell me if you agree, if I go four wide receivers, I'm probably not taking Drew Brees. I'm probably going
running
back.
Especially in a 4-point for passing touchdown. So he could have instead... He could have had Ingram. He could have had Anderson. He could have had Paul Perkins, where he took Brees.
Okay. So, yeah, look, it is viable. I just feel like if you do it, if you take three or four wide receivers with your first three or four picks, you don't want to wait too long on running back, and you might have to you might have to just come to the realization you're going to be a little weak at either quarterback or tight end or both.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just say, hey, running backs are stupid and unpredictable. I'm going to pick my starter off the waiver wire in week three and screw you, fantasy analysts. So the next email was from David in Lakeland, who he suggests going zero wide receiver and getting McCoy, Gordon, Murray, Gurley, those like three of those, basically, and going zero wide receiver. What do you think?
I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, let's just say, for example, I didn't take Julio in round one, and I took Cooper in round two. I'm probably taking a receiver in round three. So let's say Zeke was sitting there. Let's say it went Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Brown, Julio, Beckham, right? So now I'm sitting there at six. There's Ezekiel Elliott. I take Elliott, PPR league.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably almost certainly. I'm probably going either receiver, like Cooper and Allen Robinson, the way that it went for me.
Oh, in two and three. Yeah, okay. Right, you're compensating for not taking a wide receiver in round mm-hmm. one. So let me ask you this. Let's say you take Ezekiel Elliott sixth overall.
Mm-hmm.
Which running back would have to fall to you in round two for you to consider taking that running back over Amari Cooper?
In a PPR league, probably Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And then I still think it would be a tough call.
No, I would take Freeman.
You would take Freeman?
Mm-hmm.
Like in a vacuum, I would take Freeman over Cooper, even in PPR, but just knowing that I already took one running back in a three-receiver PPR league with a flex, it would be a tough call for me, but no, mm-hmm. I get it. All right, and one last wide receiver email. This one's from Ty. Dear Joey, Chandler, and Ross.
One of the best comedies, if not the best of all time.
Oh, what did you just say?
You don't like Friends?
Oh, I like Friends, and it is one of the best comedies of all time. It's part two of your statement that I like even less than your fantasy team. Arguably one of the best. Like, there are clearly five that are better.
Clearly five?
I would say I could name eight that are clearly better than Friends.
Wow. All right, let's go. What are they?
Simpsons, Seinfeld, Cheers, South Park, The Office, Taxi, I don't know. Okay, five.
I'll give you Seinfeld.
You're not going to give me The Simpsons? You're not a Simpsons guy.
I mean, I like The Simpsons, but I like Friends better. I like Friends better than South Park.
I understand. I wasn't really engaging you in debate because I feel like you just don't know this, but I'll just tell you that South Park and Simpsons are better than Friends. Like, it's fine.
There's probably a group of people that agree with you, and I'm sure there's probably a group of people that don't.
By the way, I've been singing Book of Mormon songs for the last 3 days. It's amazing.
Are you even old enough to have watched Cheers?
My brother loves Cheers. He used to watch
Cheers
my brother.
Cheers is great.
Yeah, he loves Cheers. Okay, the question, are Rishard Matthews and Corey Davis good candidates for the friendship strategy? I took them in rounds 9 and 10 of a recent mock. Rishard Matthews and Corey Davis.
What's the friendship strategy?
Are you going to make me say it's the Azer strategy?
Oh, the Azer strategy. Yes, that one. Yeah, it's great. It's great, unless they sign Eric Decker. Right now, it's great.
I mean, it's great to get Corey Davis in round 9 or 10. That's wild.
Could be a 10-team league.
Yeah, I still thought that was late, even if it were a 10-team league, but that's probably what it is. What do you think? 10-team league, what round would you be looking at Corey Davis?
It's probably in that range, 8 through 10.
Does he strike you as a guy who's going to be a lot better in PPR?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right, then. We were going to talk about changes in Jamie's wide receiver rankings, but I think we'll save that for another show. And yesterday I asked someone if he wouldn't mind coming on our show next Thursday.
Okay.
And he said, oh, I think I'll be able to do that. So.
Yes!
So I hope to get Nando on the show.
Is that the No, that's not the pre-wedding show.
No, but aren't you gone the week after?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No, I have two more weeks until I leave for 3 weeks.
Okay, so I know you wanted to get Nando on before the wedding.
No, that's fine. I want, maybe we'll have hopefully some toast will have come in by then, so Nando can read his as well.
I do want to get some new perspectives on the show, so we're going to try to get some fantasy analysts on in the coming weeks. And, yeah, then you don't have to hear me blabber all the time and do all this research.
Wedding day is almost here.
I got a crazy month ahead of me, man. Let me tell you, it's actually going to be a lot of fun. I've got Father's Day, which is always fun, and my birthday coming up. My birthday is Monday. I'm not sure if you heard.
Yes.
I got Third Eye Blind concert next week, the following week. Then July 4th weekend. I know it's not really July 4th, but that's on Tuesday. But that weekend. Then the wedding. Then the honeymoon. And then training camp, basically. Then it's like football season when I get back. So I better enjoy the next month.
Yeah, I leave the week of the 4th of July for your wedding. For lovely... lovely New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia area. I'll be hitting all three spots. And after I come back from your wedding, I have another week off and then more surgery on my pinky.
Softball injury, right?
Yes. I played last night. First time I played in the outfield since I broke my finger. It was fun.
And you're getting surgery on your finger in 3 weeks?
Or whatever? I'm getting my surgery 2 weeks after your wedding.
Oh. And wow. So aren't you risking injury?
No, the only thing that I would be causing a problem is if I break it again.
Well, don't do that. See, kickball, you would have no problems. Softball is risky.
Actually, I dislocated a finger playing kickball.
You are a klutz. Okay, here are some emails.
I trapped the ball on my finger.
Klutz.
Yeah.
From Jeff.
Some of us play on shortstop. Some of us play right field.
In what, kickball or softball?
Yeah. You play. Right field.
I played center field. I played all over the place. Okay. That was my sport. That was my sport. I always said being good at kickball is like being really good at Guitar Hero. It's like kind of impressive, but not really. This is Jeff's question. All right. Jeff put a lot of stock in us, Jamie. So we got to deliver with a good answer here. He's in a dynasty league. A bunch of us in the league listen to the show. So it'd be very cool if you responded as the league is hotly divided right now. In January, a trade went down involving Brandon Cooks and a 2019 draft pick. A few weeks later, the commissioner said he was going to have to reverse the trade because our league only allows a player to trade picks 1 year in the future, so 2017 and 18, not 2019. Mm-hmm. A couple people said they would like to vote on that rule down the road, and the commissioner said we could vote on the rule come summertime. Fast forward to June. The commissioner never reset the players on the team, and the guy that had Brandon Cooks is upset because he thought the trade was reversed. And it turns out the other guy privately messaged the commissioner asking for the trade to go through, even though the commissioner said he had to reverse it. So the guy said, please make the trade go through. The commissioner said, okay, simply because it seemed like most people didn't like the rule, and he didn't let anyone else know. Now that a lot of time has gone by, players have switched NFL teams, the value of the trade has changed. So the question is, should the commissioner be forced to stick to his original word and the trade be reversed? Or should it be allowed to go through even though one of the parties involved in the trade no longer wants to do it?
I'm a little confused. So they've made a trade.
Mm-hmm.
After the trade was originally allowed, they went back and reversed it.
No. The commissioner said he was going to reverse it, but he never did. Why did he never reverse it? Because one of the owners in the trade sent him a private message asking him not to reverse it, and the commissioner thought, well, nobody really cares, I guess, so I'm just going to leave it.
Okay.
Reverse it, I say. Reverse it.
So you're going based on his original...
Yes.
Word that he wanted to reverse it.
Yeah, because he didn't make it public when he decided to go back on his word. So I think you reverse it. I think you said I have to reverse it. It's against the rules. You reverse the trade and then you vote on the future draft picks rule. That's what I say, league.
Okay.
You good with that?
Yep.
All right. From Dusty. Hey, James, Jamie, Jamie, and Jamie, all spelled differently.
Nice.
And Jamie spelled properly in the end. J A M E Y. I have a two quarterback league question for you guys. I'm hoping it's not too specific for just my league. It is a two quarterback, 12 team league with three wide receivers and a flex, half PPR. How much added value do you give quarterbacks in a three receiver, half PPR league with a flex, but 12 teams, two quarterbacks? What type of strategy would you implement?
Scoring?
No, drafting quarterbacks.
Oh. I would probably still treat it more like a standard league and still lean heavy on quarterbacks.
Like a standard two quarterback league, you mean?
Yeah, I'd probably try and go one early.
Oh, like here's the thing. If you're in a 12-team two quarterback league, not everybody's getting a backup. So don't be the guy who doesn't have a backup.
You're saying draft three.
If not four. Get an injury, you're really in trouble. There's going to be nothing. There's going to be zero starters on the waiver wire.
Oh, because you're saying because we usually do ours as a 10-team league.
Yeah. 12-team league changes a lot. And buys? Yikes. Okay. Anyway, this is from Matt. Next email. Hey, Clay, Hannah, and the tapes. I'm sorry to say that I think I know what this is. This was 13 Reasons Why on Netflix. Very controversial show, Jamie. Are you aware of 13 Reasons Why?
No.
It's very sad. Very unnecessarily sad, I think. It's about a girl who... I don't really want to get into it. It's probably not even appropriate. But, yeah, I saw it. A little gratuitous for me. 10-team PPR league. Bonus points for going over total yards thresholds for running and receiving. So you get bonus points at 100 yards, 150, and 200 for receiving and rushing. And 300, 350, and 400 for passing. How does that change your draft strategy? This is Matt in Poway, California, by the way. So PPR league, but yardage bonuses and a lot of them.
You know, like just some guys we talked about with the receivers, it puts a little bit more of an emphasis, let's say, on a T.Y. Hilton than a Jordy Nelson or a Dez Bryant, you know, because the yards will be there, but the touchdowns won't. Same with somebody like Julio Jones. And then with the running backs, again, you're looking for those total yard guys.
No, you're not looking for total yard guys because you don't get you don't get a bonus for total yards. You get you get a bonus for 100 rushing or 100 receiving, then 150, then 200.
So it says gives bonus points for going over total yard thresholds.
I didn't take it as total though. It's total yard thresholds for running/receiving. Okay, maybe it's total. I'm sorry.
I mean, it might.
I really don't like yardage bonuses. They bother me. They don't make any sense. Care to comment? Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, it's. I don't mind it, you know, as long as everybody's aware of it. I don't want it to be the difference maker of, the way you draft or how your league is set up.
One more strategy here. This okay. One is, I don't have a name. You want to give me a name?
Of a person?
Yeah.
Sergio.
Sergio is from Sergio. Hey, Kemba, Nicholas, Michael, Marvin, and Cody. Are those Bobcats or something? No. Yeah, maybe. You know basketball, Jamie.
Kemba, Walker, Nicholas Batum, Michael Jordan?
Maybe.
Oh.
Marvin Williams?
Marvin,
is he on that
Marvin
team?
Marvin Williams and Cody, the brother, one of their brothers.
Oh, yeah, Cody... They were from Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Cody Kessler.
No.
Oh. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
The question is, if you know the Panthers, you know they're very good every other year. Look at the records. Their offense got better in all phases. I have the second pick in a PPR league. 1 point per player that catches. Grade my plan. It's the Panthers strategy. I can fill in the blanks to make this a great team.
Okay.
First round, second round, third round, blank.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth round, McCaffrey. Fifth round, Olsen. Sixth round, Kelvin Benjamin. Seventh round, blank. Eighth round, Cam. Ninth round, blank. Jonathan Stewart in the 10th. Panthers DST in the 12th. And their kicker in the 13th. Do you like Christian McCaffrey in the 4th, Greg Olsen in the 5th, Kelvin Benjamin in the 6th, Cam Newton in the 8th in a PPR league?
Love McCaffrey in the 4th. Not going to happen, though. Olsen in the 5th is realistic. Benjamin, probably realistic. I don't love it. Newton in the 8th. Depends on how your league views him. Stewart in the 10th is likely. Look, it's not bad.
It's funny. I like it. It's fun.
It's fun. I don't know if that's the team you necessarily want to be associated with, though.
Yeah. They could have a nice little bounce back. So you could get yeah. That's the thing. You're trying to find value here because they're going to bounce back. I'm not sure you're getting much value with McCaffrey in the fourth, Olsen in the fifth, or Benjamin in the sixth. It's kind of like where they go. Except maybe
McCaffrey, that's late. Yeah, you're lucky if you get in the fourth.
McCaffrey's a third round in PPR, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cody Zeller.
Zeller.
I thought you knew basketball. You play fantasy everything.
Nobody's drafting Cody Zeller.
Oh, okay. Well, I play in deeper leagues, I guess.
I guess so.
Man, it's Thursday. This is my second show of the day. I am out of breath. I am out of voice. So I think we're just going to end the show. For Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. Have a great weekend, everybody. Food tasting tomorrow. I'm pumped for that. See you later.
See you on the other side, Ray. It's been a pleasure working with you, Dr. Venkman.